this morning is taken from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Please be seated.
Good morning. Grateful for your presence this morning and the opportunity always to come together as a family and worship God. And so we're very thankful and thankful for those who have led us this morning. As the elders mentioned last week, there will be two lessons having to deal with the topic of eldership. Last week we looked at qualifications, and this week we're looking at responsibilities, and both the eldership's responsibility to the congregation and the congregation's responsibility to the eldership. And so that's our lesson this morning, what we'll be talking about. When you think about the Lord's church, it is important to lay out a couple of facts to begin with as we get into this lesson. Number one, God has not left His church without authority. The Godhead being composed of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we know that the Father sent His only begotten Son to this earth to redeem mankind from sin, John 3:16. Galatians 4 and verse 4 reminds us of that as well. Jesus claimed the authority of the Father. He was sent by the Father. I am here to do my Father's will. And He did just that. But He also had promised His apostles that He would leave, send a Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to guide them into all truth. John 16, verse 13. And the apostles confirmed the word they revealed by signs and wonders, those miracles that were done among them by God. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, Mark 16, verse 20. We know then that God's word is truth. The apostles' teaching is that authority from God, sent by Jesus through the Spirit to the apostles and those inspired writers of the new covenant. And therefore, we have those things before us so that we can know such as qualifications and the type of men who will lead us in a congregation, who will oversee the work of the Lord's church on a local basis. And so we have the overall plan of God to accomplish just that. That word is His final authority. Where do we go after that? Has God just left us to follow our own way to salvation? Of course not. Has He just left us without any answer whatsoever as to how to be governed, how the house of God should behave? The Apostle Paul writes to Timothy and he says, "If I tarry, I'm writing these things so that you know just that, how to conduct yourself in the very house of God." That also, by the way, in the very same chapter where he gives those qualifications to elders, deacons, and the wives of those. And therefore, elders are appointed. Men who have been delegated authority to see that the church continues true to His word, the word of Jesus, for the guidance of the congregation in the way of righteousness, the way of salvation. Let's think about members' responsibility to an eldership. Begins with the selection process. We've been tasked with that starting next week, or starting at really after this lesson. Then we will put forth those names to our elders directly so that they will know who to consider, who to meet with. I would make a suggestion as well that before even maybe even going to the elders with a particular name, that you go to those men that you are considering and even talk with them. See if they feel that they are qualified according to those qualifications given in 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1. And then deliver those names to the elders. They will then give consideration to them. And when it's appropriate, they will put those names forward before the congregation to be considered. So there is a process in place for us to follow. That selection process does not need to be overlooked. Someone may come along and think, well, it's not really, I don't really need to put a name forward. Are you a member here, the Eastside Congregation? Then you should consider it your responsibility to do just that. The reason being is you have a vested interest in this congregation. And the elders have asked us to do just that, to be a part of this process. And so it begins with the selection process itself. Each member should prayerfully consider men who could serve, who qualify. And I think because of the nature of the qualifications necessary for men to be considered in this high responsibility, it means that we must know these men. These men are to be known by the congregation. There's a grave responsibility in the process. And while the selection process itself is not outlined for us in Scripture, we have been given those qualifications to help set the type of men, set forth the type of men to serve. And therefore, our elders, already serving in this capacity, have said, this is the way that we'll do the process. And so we follow them in that and take part in the process. I would also say that we need to have the right kind of attitude about this work of elders. It's the case, not necessarily here, but I've heard comments made in other places that I have served as their preacher. I've heard other congregations where there have been those who have made comments about an eldership, comments about elders. And I want you to realize that 1 Timothy 5 speaks to that specifically, that we are to consider those men and not to take lightly their position, but they are worthy of double honor. And therefore, if we have a question, if we have an issue with them, then we talk about it with them, not about them. And so there's an attitude that we're supposed to maintain. We could call it just having a good Christian attitude, right? But that doesn't always completely cover everything. And so there are some of those things that come under the heading, if you will, or topic of an attitude toward our elders. It should be one of respect because of the work in which they do. And so these next things that are, I believe, responsibilities for us as members to our eldership, they come under the heading of having the right kind of attitude. Because they shepherd, because they feed, because they tend the flock. Acts 20, verse 28, 1 Peter 5 and verse 2. That beautiful picture given of our Lord as our shepherd in the shepherd's psalm, Psalm 23. They have a responsibility to feed, to lead, to help maintain peace. They lead us beside still waters, right? They bring us to those green pastures where there's food and there's plenty of spiritual food for us. And so much so is the feeling that we lie down in green pastures. What a beautiful picture given from the psalmist of the shepherd who feeds, who tends the flock. So because of their work, we should have a great respect for them. They deserve the devotion of those they lead. I think it begins with prayer. It might go unsaid that we should pray for them as we pray for others, as we pray continually, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, as we certainly pray for leaders of our country and so forth, the world over. We certainly would pray for those who are leading us locally in this congregation. But I would also say that they covet your prayers, that they need your prayers. They desire your prayers. The work that they do is serious. The work that they do is grave. It is about the souls of mankind, the souls of this congregation, for which they will answer God. Pray for them. I would say also, help to lighten their burden. Help make their work easier. Well, preacher, how do I do that? Listen to the preacher, I could say. In many ways, that's part of it. But make their work easier from the standpoint of, consider our own faithfulness for just a moment. They watch for our souls. We read in Hebrews 13, verse 17. Paul led us in that reading here just a moment ago. Obey those that have the rule over you. Why? They watch for your souls. Make their work lighter and not be burdensome. That's not going to benefit you in any way, the writer says. So lighten their burden. Consider our own faithfulness. Consider your own spiritual growth. Be drama-free, so to speak. Not stirring up any trouble. Their burden is great enough. And so if I can be a faithful member here, that makes their work that much easier. I can only control me. But I can encourage others around me to do the very same thing. By the way, that's the work of edification. Building up one another. And as members of the body of Christ, we have that responsibility to build one another up in the most holy faith, to help strengthen one another, to encourage one another, to be praying for one another. And helping to be that good example before others. It helps to lighten the burden for our elders. Under the idea of having the right kind of attitude, having the right kind of respect, certainly praying for them, attempting in every way to lighten their burden. I would also add this. Accepting their rule. Again, let's go to Hebrews 13. And in verse 7, remember those who have the rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. And then in verse 17, obey those who have the rule over you, twice in that passage. So we accept their rule. I'm going to use another word here. Accept their shepherding. Accept their feeding. Accept their tending of the flock. Accept their rule and their shepherding personally. Of me and my family. They're watching for my soul. They're watching for my family's soul. I need to accept their shepherding. And it may come across in a simple leading of the congregation by its teaching. But it also may go much further than that. It might be in the form of advice that is given. Our elders may pull you aside at some point and say, "Hey, I know that you're going through some things. Number one, I want you to know I'm here for you and praying for you. We want to encourage you. What is it that we can do to help you?" And you know, when I was younger and I was going through this particular situation, this is kind of how I worked through that. There's some advice given. Accept that. Don't see it as criticism. Don't see it as uncaring, because that's the last thing that it would be. It's our loving shepherds watching for our souls, helping us, encouraging us, giving us advice. Or maybe it's the case that they do have to pull me aside and they have to say, "Hey, you know, something that's been going on in your life, we've been made aware of, and you need to change. You need to make some changes. Here's what you need to do." And there's a rebuke in that, still from a place of love and care and concern for your soul, watching for your soul. But there's direction, leadership that is extended and given in that. So accept their shepherding. They're watching for your soul. We should be thankful. We would have elders that would serve us that way, that would help us in that way. But I have sat too many times, and there's a couple of preachers in this audience who I know have sat in their office hearing critiques, criticism of an eldership who came to them and said something out of the way, as they thought. What I have often said I would do, but have never had the opportunity: I keep legal pads, just a yellow pad right there in my desk. Anytime there's a critique like that, the first thing that I want to do is say, "Okay, let's write that down and let's call our elders and let's have a meeting. You have an issue with the elders, you need to be talking with them. But let's write those things down so you can articulate them." How many people you think really would write them down? If I said, "Hey, let's get on the phone right now, let's set a meeting this afternoon." Rarely would anyone go through with it. But everyone's a critic. And when toes are stepped on, maybe feelings are hurt, I want us to think about our responsibility. Because of the respect that we have for that position and for those men who serve in that capacity, that we would give them the benefit of the doubt and say, "I know that they love me and they're concerned about me." And accept their shepherding. Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 12 and 13. Go ahead and turn to that passage. I want to look at it, and I'll probably mention it a time or two. 1 Thessalonians 5. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. So give them the benefit of the doubt as they shepherd you. And in another area, give them the benefit of the doubt as they make decisions. There are decisions that they have to make. Sometimes they're not very popular. Almost always, there's a level of difficulty in them that might even keep them up at night, that they have to spend time in prayer thinking about, and that they have to gather as much information so that they can make a proper decision on whatever it is. Give them the benefit of the doubt when it comes to decisions being made. One thing that we have to realize is that there's a stack of information that they've been given, that they're basing that decision on, that you and I may have no idea about. And very likely, do not need to know anything about. Because that's the realm in which they work. That's why the type of men that are appointed to those positions are ones who can be trusted to carry out and make decisions on behalf of the congregation, to lead the congregation for what's best for the congregation. We give them the benefit of the doubt. The decisions that our elders have had to make over the last couple of years have been difficult ones. And with an overwhelming amount of information that is out there, just concerning COVID itself and how we would conduct ourselves and how we would accomplish our coming together to worship. Could we come together to worship? Difficult decisions that have not been made in the past. No real precedent set to be able to base even decisions like that on. And they had to work through those things. And I'm thankful for the men who had to make those hard decisions for us. And I think they did overall a great job. And I know many of you have expressed that to me, and I hope that you have to them. That's just one area, one type of decision. When it comes to decisions, because of their responsibility to feed and tend the flock, sometimes that has to do with teachers or preachers and their roles, and the work that they'll be doing or not doing. That's in the nature of the work that they have to do, the decisions that they have to make. And so we trust these men, esteem them very highly, in love, for their work's sake, Paul says, verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 5. And so again, that's why the caliber of men that are appointed to those positions are ones in which we can trust. We need to encourage them. These men are human. And you know what? They're probably going to make some mistakes, because they're human. The qualifications that are given are not to be sinlessly perfect, but are to be men who are above reproach. Men who can ask for forgiveness. Men who will need our forgiveness, as they may make some mistakes along the way. We encourage them. We forgive them. You realize because they're human, they have needs just like the rest of us. That they have feelings just like the rest of us. that they also have personalities, just like the rest of us. We need to help meet their needs, whatever they are, so they can do their good work in watching for our souls. Consider the spouses of those men who will serve as elders. Realize, too, that they are affected by the long nights, by the long sleepless nights, by the level of stress, the difficulties in those decision makings that they have to do. As they are watching for our souls, as they maybe have to meet with someone to make a correction in their life. If they have to meet with a family that's going through a crisis and they have to work through that, realize that there's a spouse standing behind those men who are often affected as well. We need to be praying for them. We need to be encouraging them, because they too are of a certain caliber and respect for them, I think, is part of our responsibility as well. So they too need our support, our prayers, our encouragement. The list might could continue to go on and on. Let's look at the other side of this for just a moment. The eldership's responsibility to its members. And you will find that as we talk about one of those things, it's probably got you thinking about the other. As we talk about a congregation's responsibility to the elders, and we talk about one of those points, it naturally lends itself to thinking about, well, the elders has a responsibility here as well. You really cannot talk about one without talking about the other. Number one, they are an example to follow. These passages here in Hebrews chapter 13, remember those who have the rule over you, those who have spoken the word of God unto you. It says, whose faith follow. We're to follow their example. You consider the end of their conduct. You consider their life, their decisions, how they rule their house, how they oversee the flock, how they live their life daily. The writer says, remember them. In other words, know them. Acknowledge their authority, but know them. Spend time with them. Follow their faith. Their example is one that we should be able to emulate and obey them. Both those passages teach us. Obey those that have the rule over you. Submit yourselves to them. Why? Because they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. Think about this for just a moment. They spend hours either planning or poring over the plans of those appointed to plan certain activities for the congregation, or planning the work that is going to be done by the local congregation. They have said, set aside other times. We know that we're to meet on the Lord's Day, but the elders say, you know, what's good and wise and prudent here is that we have Bible classes for our members. So a Sunday morning Bible class, a Wednesday night Bible class, that we would have gospel meetings, that we would have seminars, that we would have work days, that we would have other days that would encourage us and teaching that would take place. That's feeding the flock, tending the flock, shepherding the flock. That's leading the flock. And the Hebrews writer says, obey those that have the rule over you. And so they plan, and they oversee plans of activities and work for the congregation to do. Benevolent works, community outreach, the list might go on and on. Each member should participate as appropriate. Because this is something that the elders have set aside that we should do. To not do so is to not obey them that have the rule over you. Consider that when you consider the work of the church. Obey those that have the rule over you. They also lead in the Lord's mission for the church. It is said of Jesus that the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the purpose of the church. The place of salvation. That is the mission of the church. The elders lead in that mission. To evangelize. To reach lost souls. And so they're going to make sure that the work that is being done is with that purpose in mind. With that mission in mind. They lead in the work of edification. You go to Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11. And Paul writes to the church at Ephesus and he says, he gave himself some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? Why, Paul? For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, equipping the saints for ministry, for building up the body of Christ. These are those positions who have been given to that work. So elders lead in that work of edification. Why? Well, you read on a little bit further. So that the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, we could say by what every member supplies. Why? For the working in which it shares, for the growth of the body, for the edifying of itself in love. Elders lead in that. They have a responsibility to lead in the mission of the church, to evangelize, but also to lead in the work of edification. Let's go back to 1 Thessalonians 5 again. We urge you, brethren, recognize those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. I think this is a beautiful expression because Paul says to begin with, I beg you, this is important. I want you to pay attention to this. He says, I beseech you, I beg you. I'm praying that this is what you will do. It was that important to consider those who labor among you. And from that, we pick up on a couple of responsibilities. They labor. We're not talking about just an office. We're talking about a work. And when you dig a little deeper, even in 1 Timothy chapter 3, beginning of verse 1, when he starts talking about if a man desires the work or the office of a bishop, it sounds all formal, right? Well, they're just decision makers. That's what they do. No, it's not just an office where they go in as businessmen and make a decision about a certain thing. This is a work in which they are involved. They labor among you. There's a great work to be done, and we need men who will lead us in that work. They have a responsibility, an awesome responsibility of feeding the flock, the right kind of spiritual food. And often they have a thankless task of protecting the flock from those forces of evil that are around that would destroy the church, take away souls of its members. They have a delicate duty of even rebuking members who would be involved in misconduct, bringing reproach upon the Lord's body. There is a work that must be done. They labor among you. But then as we see in other passages, Hebrews 13 and others, they are over you in the Lord. They've been selected as leaders to lead in the way of righteousness. They've been given delegated authority by God to guide the church according to His will, according to His Word. It's not their prerogative to make rules where God has not made rules, nor can they choose to ignore the rules in which God has made. but they have authority to oversee the spiritual activities and the pursuits of a congregation to ensure that they are in harmony with Scripture. That's their work. And that's why they are over us in the Lord. And we find that they are to admonish. Admonish. To encourage. I think about that picture of a shepherd walking there with staff. He's among the sheep. And when one slows just a little bit, all he has to do in picking up that staff is just a nudge, a word of encouragement. Come on with me. Come on with us. That's the picture of admonishing. Because sometimes we get lax in our work. Sometimes our zeal falters. Sometimes our enthusiasm for the work is waning in some way. Sometimes we've just become lackadaisical with regard to our responsibility in the Lord's church. And elders admonish us. That's their work. To continue. To not give in to the world and to not give up on the way of the Lord. And so there comes a time when we need that encouragement. We need that admonishment. Sometimes we need full-on rebuke. Wayne, get it together. You're out of step with the rest of the church. Sometimes maybe I need to be told that. You know, we think about the work that is set for these men to do. They have a responsibility that is so serious and grave. The watching for the souls of those under which they have oversight. And while Paul speaks to the congregation at Thessalonica, and he says that we need to know them, we need to recognize them, those who rule over us, those who admonish us, I believe the other side of that is that a shepherd knows the sheep. We see that in John 10. It gives us a picture of Jesus, the good shepherd. I know those who are mine. They know my voice. The relationship that he has with them. I am known of mine. They know my voice. It tells us something about how their relationship is together. I know when one is out of step, is what he says. But also he gives the picture in John 10 of the one who, the shepherd, not the hireling, the shepherd, the one who would watch, the one who would protect, who would stand his own life in the way for the sheep. He watches, he protects, he guards, he feeds, he leads, he keeps them peaceful. He would sacrifice much, even his own life for them. And so the shepherding work is seen in several areas. It's seen in visitation, new families visited, old families visited, caring for the elderly, sick, shut in, those in the hospital, those who are needing encouragement, those who are needing guiding. That's part of that work that's seen in shepherding. It's also seen in leading in disputes. Leading in dispute settlement. Taking care of those disputes. Helping to bring about peace between brethren and harmony in the work once again. I love the fact that has been such a rare, rare thing at Eastside. But it cannot always be the case. And so shepherding is also seen in leading in the settling of those disputes among brethren. Shepherding is seen in the leading of a congregation when it comes to church discipline. Certainly a difficult work, but it's vital. In fact, Paul would rebuke the church at Corinth for their not having practiced discipline. They had gotten to the point where it had gotten so far. Now, at this point, they need to withdraw from this man. But I want you to realize discipline, at its very root, is simply the word teaching and instructing. So discipline at its core begins with the right kind of teaching. That's why these men and their character, they love the faithful word of the Lord. Because that's where it all begins for them. And they're going to make sure that that faithful word is being taught. But as it is being taught, they're admonishing, they're encouraging a congregation to step in line with that faithful word of teaching. And when one steps outside of that, begins to walk disorderly, they have to lead in that discipline to care for that member, to help bring them back in line. And part of that comes in church discipline. And that difficult work has to be led by those men. And again, it may have to do because of the information, the things that they have behind the scenes that not many of us would know anything about. And because of their wisdom, because of that information, they lead in that work. Shepherding is also seen in the leading of, again, going after the lost sheep, leaving the 99, going after the one who went astray. Shepherding is seen in having to make decisions on behalf of the congregation. Why? Because leaders lead. That's what they do. It would necessitate having to make decisions. It's not about changing doctrine. It's about leading a congregation to follow the doctrine, to follow the teaching of our Lord. Shepherding is seen in overseeing, again, what is taught. As I mentioned, Titus 1. In Acts 20, when Paul met with the Ephesian elders in Miletus, he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed, to tend, to pastor, to shepherd the church of God, which he's purchased with his own blood." There's probably a lot of practical matters that we could add to this lesson, but I know time's getting away from me. But each of these points that are made, they would also necessitate, by implication, that we would be members of a local congregation. That we would place ourselves under an eldership of a local congregation. We use the term placing membership, and I know that's not, that phrase is not found in Scripture, but it is a biblical concept. There are those who bucket that for some reason. I'm not sure why. But all of these points that we've made in this lesson would imply and necessitate that folks would place membership. They would be under an eldership. Another practical area I think that is important, both from a membership standpoint as well as an eldership standpoint. Communication is vital. In any business model that you would look out into the world and see, without communication, that business will falter. That business will die. It's no different with the church. There has to be a communication. When there are issues, the elders need to know. Communication travels that way. And then there are times when it necessitates that elders communicate with a congregation, not just for COVID reasons, as we've seen our elders do such a good job, but there are other areas in which The members need that communication from their elders. Maybe not every detail how a decision was arrived to, but a certain amount of communication. And what that does on both sides is it promotes a trust. And it promotes a support between an eldership and a congregation. It might be budget information. It might be work-related tasks. It might be discipline issues. It might be medical issues related to the work and so forth. I think when we talk about responsibilities in a congregation, these are vital matters if the church is going to function healthily and in harmony with Scripture and in a way in such where there's peace and harmony and people find their place of work and the work that is done shines a light, a beacon in a community for the whole county to see, for the whole world to see, to whom we truly belong, Jesus, in His kingdom, with those who would serve as elders and deacons and evangelists, and every member realizing their responsibility in the work of the Lord to evangelize, to edify, to do good deeds, and to help one another, to pray for one another, to encourage one another. Why? We are not in this alone. I know you've heard that phrase being used and thrown around in different ways. But when it comes to the Lord's church, we are not alone. Nor would we ever want to dare leave someone alone. And that's why the work of elders are so important. The work of the church, for the health of the church, for the faithfulness of the church, so that they lead us home, so they lead us to heaven. This morning, as we close and think about those who might be serving in this capacity later, those who are serving right now, have prayed for you. They are praying for you. If there's a need that you have, this would be an opportunity to let them know. When we sing an invitation song, it's not just to close out the service. It's to open a door of opportunity. And it is an invitation. Make things right with God. To ask for prayers. To ask for strength. To ask for encouragement. Because you're not alone. And our elders will pray for you. And will encourage you. And maybe there's one this morning who needs to obey the gospel. There's no better time than now to put on Christ in baptism. If you truly believe and be the Son of God. And would turn away from the practice of sin and confess Him before even this audience this morning. You can put on Christ in baptism right now. And leave this place having been washed, cleansed from sin. Beginning a new life in Christ Jesus. We'd love to assist you in whatever need you have. Come to the front while we stand, while we sing.